Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, I wanted to wish every mom a very happy Mother's Day. God has given you such an important role to play in our world. You are the protectors and the providers of our bodies while in the womb. You securely hold us in your strong arms and rock us to sleep. You kiss our boo-boos when we get hurt. You smile at us and give us courage to face every challenge when we're afraid. I know I'm making you sound a little bit like God, and you know you're not, but the role you play is about as godly as it gets. You are examples of how we should treat all God's children. And for that, I want to say it again. Happy Mother's Day. We know that a child is born because of a process that involves both a mother and a father. But mothers have the special honor of carrying a child in their womb for 9 months or so. Mothers, in large part, are the primary nurturers of children when they're young. And for that reason, there is almost always a strong bond between a child and his or her mother. But like it or not, we all know that our children take on characteristics of both parents. I always love it when a child acts out in an unruly way, and the mother looks at her husband and, completely excusing herself from any responsibility of this child's behavior, says, "Do you know what your child did today?" I used to say, I pray my kids get the majority of their genes and looks for looks and character from their mother's side. They would probably agree with that prayer right now, since they're all grown up. Thankfully, God was merciful and heard that prayer. For those of you who know me better, you know that maybe one of my lesser attractive attributes is, well, I guess you could say I have a playful side. Marty might say it's juvenile. We have this little Norwegian figurine that she had when she got as a child. Trolls are these mythical creatures that often pull pranks on humans. When one of our kids, and I'll save her name, her embarrassment, when she was younger, I remember putting this troll on her dresser to maybe adorn her room. These creatures are kind of interesting-looking characters. Well, as a little kid, she freaked out. I'm not sure if the troll reminded her of her dad or her dad reminded her of the troll. I can be a little trollish at times. And I, of course, blame my father, who was a full-blooded Norwegian. You see, it's not my fault. It's the DNA he passed on to me. But you see, there's a connection here with our natural birth and our spiritual birth. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, the Bible is quick to remind us that we've all been conceived in sin. Blame it all on them. Because of their disobedience to God, and that inclination towards sin has been passed down from generation to generation. Come on, admit it. You too have it, don't you? John says earlier in 1 John, his letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. A few lines later, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar. And his word is not in us. As a result of our inherited sin and our perpetuating that heritage all too willingly, God's judgment has fallen upon us all. And that judgment for sin in the garden and for the sin in our lives today, the judgment's the same, death. Paul in Ephesians makes it clear. and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But you see, Paul's talking to the church. And that's what used to be, but in Christ is no longer. Everything changed at the coming of Jesus. God's one and only unique Son, Jesus, came into our world to take on human flesh, to identify with us in our humanity. And his death became the satisfaction God required for the penalty of the combined debt of sin incurred by Adam and Eve and every person who came forth from them. That's what God did to purchase our redemption. He sent Jesus. But then the question becomes, how would this salvation be applied to us today who are by nature spiritually dead? And the answer was and is through spiritual birth. God took the initiative. And just as he created the world by his word, and just as he called Lazarus out from the tomb saying, "Lazarus, come out," so by his word, the seed implanted in each one of us, we were born of God. And we're here today because we believe that. The problem that many of us have is we don't always feel like we're born of God. In fact, now maybe more than ever, we feel like we're engaged in a war against the world's influences, against our sinful flesh and the devil's schemes. And yes, we are. But that does not negate the power of God's word, who declares us his beloved children because of Jesus' work. That's why John's letter, and more specifically this text, is so important for us to hear. John wants us to know. He wants us to have full assurance and confidence that we are now God's beloved children. So he lays out some points. And the first point that he lays out to comfort us in this crazy world in which we live, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God. Wow. It's a statement of fact. He's obviously talking to the church. People like you and me who have confessed the name of Jesus as their personal Savior and a Savior of the whole world. And it's really that simple. John says, "By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God." Have you made such a confession? I know you have. Then John states emphatically, you have been born of God. Hold close to that concept. Because it doesn't matter how you feel today, whether worthy or unworthy of that high calling. Yes, we're still living in the midst of a battle, and conflict brings fear and apprehension. Dear Christians, do not be afraid. You have been born of God. You are his child, and no one can snatch you out of your father's hands. Like a mother bear keeping watch over her cubs, The enemy dare not mess with you. Don't drift on me here. I'm not talking baseball. God loves the Cardinals too. But God has our backs. If you have confessed that Jesus is the Christ, you are a child of God. The second thing John points to is the evidence of love. John continues in his text, "Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him." Every child wants to be loved by their parents. And we know that no greater love than our Father's love, our Heavenly Father's love, who sent His Son to die for us, who in love entered our sin-soiled earth as a human being. And after teaching us of the greatest attribute of God, His love, Jesus willingly gave His life for the world. And we love because God first loved us. John says that. And that love became part and parcel in our lives. It became part of our spiritual DNA so that we discovered love for God and His family. Love, as you know, is not necessarily a feeling. It's a sacrifice. You may not be getting that loving feeling that the righteous brothers sang about, but as God's children, you have known God's love and shown your love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like family, church folks will often get into disagreements with each other. It happened even in the apostolic days. Paul was so disappointed and frustrated with John Mark, who had traveled with him in his missionary journey. John Mark had left him. And it took a while for Paul to get over it. But Paul later tells the church at Colossae to welcome John Mark. He commends him as a fellow worker in the letter to Philemon. We read of Paul's final mention of John Mark shortly before Paul's own death. And he describes John Mark as being useful to me for service. 2 Timothy. It would have been so easy for Paul to hang on to his resentment, his disappointment, his frustration. But love moved Paul to reconcile to his brother. Love of God and love of God's family is evident in the new birth. And you all have experienced that. The third point John makes to describe the nature of your new birth in God is your obedience. You obey God's commandments. I won't ask you how that's going because I know what you're thinking. I too fail to follow God's commandments in perfection. And a lot of us struggle with this, and I hope you will not beat yourself if you're in your Christian life, it's not so stellar. Scripture tells us that we're to strive for perfection while knowing that on this side of heaven, we will never come close to perfection. This is one of the most awesome things about becoming a Christian. You see, because you are born of God, sin cannot stick to you. How so? Jesus paid it all. I hope this shocks you a little bit, because one of the greatest benefits of being born of God is just this: how we can continue to sin and yet still have God's love be assured to us. John tells us earlier in his letter, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All of it. And in chapter 2, he says, my little children, and believe me, he's not speaking condescendingly, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, because he knew we would, we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He says, he is the propitiation. What a complicated word. In other words, that word simply means that because of Jesus' death on the cross, God's righteous anger has been appeased. Because he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a beautiful gospel message we have. He continues, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. I think a better translation would be, and I'll probably be called a heretic for this, is I think it would be better to say when we keep his commandments. And I'll tell you why. Every time we sin and confess those sins to God, he forgives us and does not count our sins against us. And better, when we act in concert with God's obedience, God counts that to our record. What? Yes, you are born of God, which means Christ is your Savior and brother. His obedience is credited to your account. And that is why Christians increase in godly character. Obviously, at times we fall short of the glory of Christ, but in him we receive forgiveness and the grace to learn and slowly grow to be in the image of Christ. You are all growing closer to the image of Christ every day. You may not see it, but it's happening. Lastly, John caps off this section with two beautiful verses, verses 4 and 5, 1 John chapter 5. I like the punctuation in the NIV better. John writes, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. People want to live victorious lives, but they often look in all the wrong places. They look to be victorious by attaining great wealth or fortune, in gaining fame or power. And John tells us that the way to a victorious life is through the faith. Now, hang on for a moment here, real quick. John has used the verbal form to believe many times in his letters. But in this verse, verse 4, faith as a noun is only used one time. He is talking about the faith. So faith is not the act of our believing. You know how people will say, you just need to believe more? No, it's what you believe that's important. Believing too is important, but what you believe is critical. And that faith is objective. It is the reality of Jesus' incarnation, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension into heaven. That faith, confirmed by the apostles and many other witnesses, and which we too believe, is what gives us the victorious life. We believe in the fact of our Lord's coming to earth to bring us life. As we have believed and trusted in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, we live in victory. regardless of the circumstances currently going on in our lives today or any day. Victory over sin, victory over death in the grave, victory over Satan and every evil force. We are victorious because Christ was victorious. We are victorious because we have been born of God. So in summary, remember this from the Apostle John, the beloved Apostle. You are born of God by your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And being born means that love has been planted in you so that you love God and you love God's children, all of them. You are born of God and therefore perfectly righteous in God's eyes, of course, because of Christ. And finally, being born of God means you have been given the victorious life in Christ. What Christ attained in his victory is our victory. So we celebrate this day. It is good that we honor mothers, but let us also give thanks that God has given us the precious gift of eternal life through Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are born of God. To him be all praise and all glory forever and ever. Amen.